are about to hear a life-changing message that was preached at Lighthouse Chapel International Memphis by Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay. Now relax and be blessed as you enjoy this anointed word.
With your people singing praises, I love to stand and rejoice.
Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. From verse 1. Matthew chapter 18 from verse 1. The Bible says, and at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, if you can get the Amplified, I will be grateful. Who is the greatest of the kingdom or in the kingdom of heaven? Amplified says in verse 2, and he called a little child to himself and put him in the midst of them. Verse 3, and said, truly I say to you, unless you repent, change, turn about, and become like little children, trusting, lowly, loving, forgiving, unless you do that, you can never enter the kingdom of heaven at all. At all. Mercy. Whoever will humble himself or herself, therefore, and become like this little child. Do I have a little child again? This little child. Trusting, lowly, loving, forgiving is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Is lyric there again? Oh, Liana, little child. You see, these little children, I will bring you one inside court and then another one because they are forgiven. Little children, like bring one of them, lyric or, see, little children. Yeah, this is a very little one. And then we have the little ones, like the ones who came over here and started quoting the scriptures. I've given the same scriptures to adults. They haven't done it. Come, Leanna, come. You see, I've given. All, we're talking about humility. How to be humble like a child. The Bible says, unless whoever will humble himself, therefore, and become like this little child. In other words, who become trusting, lowly, loving, forgiving. That person is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Yeah. For example, when you see, none of these little babies has ever left the church since I started pastoring 20 years. None, not even one child, has decided I'm leaving the church. Wow. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Not one, and it will never happen. They are lowly, they are trusting, they are forgiving. The offenses that we suffer from, they may, but they are always back. I've seen more fights in the children's church and the Vacation Bible School than I've seen in the church here. But our battles are inside in the form of pride. These ones, they open it, they fight, they are there the next day. And loving, lowly, caring, forgiving. Bible says, unless you become like them, you will not enter the kingdom. And if you become like this, God will make you, you'll be part of the greatest. You'll not just enter the kingdom, but as a great person. Clap for the Lord Jesus. How to be humble like these ones. My children have fought and fought, but none of them has left, ever said I'm walking out before. No. Is he? Yeah. I did that to him last week. And this week too, I'm doing it. He's here again. He said, okay, he'll do it. There was a certain person that I did that to. Come and let me use you for demonstration. That was the last day. The difference is humility. The difference is what makes us great. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Clap for these little children. I'm showing them how to be humble. Please carry this baby yourself. How to be humble like a child. Ladies and gentlemen, that is our topic of discussion. And last week we learned why that is the case. And we learned a few interesting introduction that it's important to humble ourselves, reasons why we must humble ourselves. And the first reason was that humble yourself because God will resist proud people. God resists proud people. Yeah. And the Bible says that, James 4:6, he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. And we said that anybody who is proud, you know, can somebody find me a dictionary definition of pride? Anybody who is proud, God fights you, resists you personally. You see, and Bible says pride comes before a fall. The reasons why sometimes we lose jobs, we lose marriages, we lose money, we lose churches, we lose church members, we lose friends, we lose, is because of pride. Because without pride, there's no contention. Pride, only by pride cometh contentions. Quarrels and arguments and separation. So you will realize that when you've lost a friend, you've lost a loved one, or you've lost a job, you've lost all these things because of pride. And you go and you are praying. Sometimes you are praying that God will bring that person back. But actually God is resisting you. As you are binding God, because it's God's hand that is fighting you. Yeah. The proud, one of the things that, you know, even in everyday life, if you're a father and you have kids, some are humble, others are proud. You resist the proud. Yeah. Even as a parent, you promote the humble one. You help the humble one. You always lift up the humble, even you as a child, as a human being. And the proud children, when they come, you fight them, you resist them. One person who came to the mother, lay hands on me, said, no, no, get out of here. If you let me open my mouth, it's only a curse that will come out. See, he walked away. Resist the proud. God's nature is in us. God resists. So some of the prayers, if it is due to pride, God is the one fighting. Who are you going to pray to? May you be humble and not proud in Jesus' name. That's one of the greatest virtues you can ever have. Humility. Be humble. Amen. And we explain that it is, you want to be humble, you have to learn from the child. It's the children that say, okay, I need help. Okay, lift me up, I'm down. Okay, I am dirty, clean me. Okay, I'm hungry, give me food. Okay, I don't have money, give me money. It takes a lot of humility. Yesterday, I was talking to one church member, you know, who in the branch that the person is, that person has not been going. So the shepherd or that pastor told me to talk to the person. And I talked to the person. And you know the person's problem? The person says, my car has been damaged for over, I think, 3 months or so. And I don't have a means of transport. And people have said they're going to pick me up. But I said, no, I don't want anybody to pick me up. Yeah, that's pride. But these babies, every day we pick them up. None of them have resisted. Clap for the Lord Jesus. So sometimes the things that fight you, it is the pride that's causing them to fight you. Mercy. The next reason, humble yourself because God gives grace to the humble. Grace is supernatural help. Grace is undeserved and earned favor. If you look at a child, children are the people that get the greatest help. I mean, children have gotten, you need accommodation. You have to go and work and rent a place before. Even when you say you own a house, it is the title is with the bank. It's called mortgage. But the children, they have every day, they sleep in the, they have never paid rent. Never paid rent. They don't pay rent. They don't pay for food. They don't work. Their school fees are paid. You have to take a loan. They have never taken loans. I've never seen a little child who's taken loans. It's called grace, supernatural help, undeserved help, and end. Grace is coming to them. That's what you fight when you are proud, supernatural help from God. Everyone who is proud enough to be proud, let me put it that way, you are actually losing on special things that will come to you unearned. You haven't earned, you haven't worked for it. Humble people, God grants grace. He said he giveth more grace. Yeah, giveth more grace. Somebody's at humble at the workplace, has stayed at the work for years, has been promoted. He's now CEO. But the proud guy loses the job. It's a help. Yeah. So when you are humble, you get help. Yeah, when you're humble, you get help. You get teaching, you get advice. I mean, children are the people that are the most, they don't even know how to wear pants. They don't know how to take a shower. They have all that they acquire. Because they are children, they acquire all these skills, which you think you know how to. Some of you don't know how to brush your teeth, but I can't teach you. Yeah, it's true. There are some of us sitting here, you don't know how to brush your teeth. If I dare say that, let me show you, you will leave the church. I say, you know, when I sit around you, I realize that the stench or something, or, you know, I tell you that change your deodorant, you leave the church easily. But a child will not do that. It's the difference is humility and pride. Yeah. I've changed a few deodorants for young people, but not older people. Yeah. Last month, I came to tell a parent, I want to change the deodorant for your child. The parent said, okay. As I was going, I thought up to myself, if I told this parent I want to change your deodorant, would it work? But the child has received grace. That child. And I said, actually, I have that type. It's a very expensive type of deodorant. Whatever. I'll bring myself and give for free. That's grace for that child. But I, that same thing, I can upgrade it and bring even six to the adult. But I won't. Hey! You see, because I'm preaching, they are saying, do for me. Oh. You watch it. If I do it next month, I'll tell you part two of the story. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Humility brings grace. Humility makes people comfortable for people to come to you with help. We did a clothes drive, you know, and people bought a lot of clothes, shoes, and things. We were taking it to Healing Jesus Crusade. And we took it, and people brought more. So we called on church members to come and pick out the best. I'm telling you, it became offensive to people. Why? Who told you we need clothes? Who told you we need shoes? That's it. We haven't done it again. But the children that we give birth to, we've given them clothes every day. There's always a clothes drive until they grow. Always in our hearts, clothes drive. Your big brother will give to you. Your little brother will give to you. Your mother's clothes you will wear. I used to wear shoes that were so big that I had to grow. It took me about 5 years to finish it. Finish the growth into those shoes. But I can't do that to you. You are receiving grace in Jesus' name. Sometimes when the word of God is coming to us, grace is coming to us. But if you are proud, you can't receive it. But he gives grace to the humble. He gives us bonus. Sometimes the solution to your husband, your husband's quarrels or your job problem is in the word. As the word is coming, it's called the word of grace. It's only humble people that will receive. Some of you, we are remembering the same way that you came because of pride. From today, grace is coming in Jesus' name. He gives grace. Number three reason why you must be humble yourself. Humble yourself because through that, you will be lifted up to the next level in life. Ladies and gentlemen, anybody, you know, come, let me show you something. You see, I can only lift you up when you are down. Even the word up is relative to down. Yeah. The word up. See, he that is down needs fear no fall. When you are down, Edmund, come and lie down here. See, with nice suit, Pastor Edmund, lie down. You see, lie down here. You see, I can lift him up because he's lying down. Good. You see, he's up. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Now, as I'm lying, I say, what's your problem? I'm up. Now, because he's up, I can't even, where am I lifting him up to? He's too big. I can't lift him up. God lifts. Promotion cometh not from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. Only the north is left. God is the one who lifts up. Anybody who's proud, you cannot be lifted up. Proud people don't get promotion at work. Proud people don't get advice. Proud people don't improve because you are there where you are because of what decisions you've made. But the next thing to move you up will be somebody's input that says, no, you are down in this level. You are down in marriage. You are down in your education. You are at a certain level. You can do better. So that's when it will come. God will lift you up if only you are humble. May you receive a lifting up. You are blessed, brother. Number four reason why you should humble yourself. Humble yourself so that you will be covered and protected. Bible says in 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another. Be clothed in humility. For God resists the proud and grants grace to the humble. Humility is a cloak, it's a covering, it's a protection. Yeah. Listen, when you see somebody who's humble enough, like a child who's humble enough, I'm humble enough to accept that these are my parents. What they say is what goes. They are the ones who receive the blessing. It's a cloak, it's a protection. But the other guy, like the prodigal son, who says, I will not be humble, I'll get out. He's not protected. Bible says he lost everything. He had no covering. He was even eating with pigs. What was the difference? The other guy was home, rich. Everything the father had was his. What? They all started from the same place. Half a million. But this guy went down to zero. But this half a million guy rose up to more than a million. What's the difference? Humility. The other guy was not covered. No protection. Humility is a garment. It's a protection. It's a mantle. Yeah. If you're humble, you're protected from self. If you're humble and somebody is coming to tell you that, hey, you know, as you're going to this interview, you don't know this. But if you're not humble, it's a protection. It's protected you. Yeah, it's protected you. Humility can protect you from divorce. Can protect you from being fired. Can protect your finances. Yeah. Your job income will be sustained. Because it's all a protection. God says that put on the garment of humility. If you're walking, any person who is proud is equivalent to a person who is naked. Yeah, you are fighting battles without any, you have no protection. Yeah. Even God, who is the one who should protect you, is fighting, resisting you. Bible says, if God be for you, who can be against you? But if God be against you, who can be for you? It's also true. Humility is a protection. All who were humble as young people, they were protected from, you know, perhaps the world. It takes protection to stay in your father's house. It takes humility. It takes humility to even stay in church. Yeah. Most people who walk out of church are proud. I'm telling you honestly. Bottom line, it's an offense. I can't take this. I can't take that person. I can't take this person. Pride. You see it. It could be you, but it's not you because you're here. Clap for the Lord Jesus. And let's see the rest and then move on to today's. Humble yourself, number six, in the sight of the Lord, because pride is essentially satanic or demonic. Fully from the devil. The originator of pride, when mankind was being formed, is Satan who resisted out of pride. Told God, I will ascend. You know, Satan was God's praise and worship leader, was made with timbrels and harps and all. I said, no, I can't continue to just be serving you all this time. I will arise. I will sit on the sides of the north. I will be like the Most High God. I will be a star like the stars. That's what sent him down, out of pride. People who fight authority always lose it because Satan is always trying to bring people down. Even in your temptation, God calls it a test. Satan is the one who tempts. God is not never tempts. In James 1, he never tempts. Anytime you face a temptation, there are two sides to it. It's a temptation because Satan is waiting for your response. When you respond in a negative way, you fall. When you respond in a positive way, you are promoted. Jesus Christ took the devil's temptation as a test. If he had fallen, it would be over. But out of humility, he said, no, I won't bow to you, I'll bow to God. I won't convert this stone into bread. And all those, he got promoted. So anytime you are faced with these things, know that Satan is there. Satan is at work. All right? It is satanic. Originated from the devil. Pride is an origination from the devil. The Bible says in Job 41, verse 1, that can you draw out Leviathan out with a hook? And then the verse 41 says, he beholds all high things or proud. Mm-hmm. God looks at people are proud. And he says, the devil, he's talking about Leviathan from the beginning. Leviathan, you see, the word is Leviathan. Can you draw out Leviathan with a hook? It's one of the names of the devil. And the Bible describes his activities right, Job 41 from verse 1 to verse 34. And in verse 34, the Bible says that the devil, he beholds all high things, all proud things. He watches, he's nosing around looking for the proud to grab as his own. And he can select. And he says that he is king over all the children of pride. Yeah. When we are here, we are all humble and you become proud. You are first selection, best selection for the devil. You become selected out. Because that's, he becomes king. He rules the proud. Anybody who has a proud heart, you only do evil. Yeah. You don't take counsel. You won't listen to anybody. You speak anyhow to authority. You're just high and mighty, just like the devil. And you get into his king. He's the number one. He's the originator of pride. And everything that is pride, all the children, he's king over all the children of pride. He's king. He rules. He's in charge of the proud. That's why pride comes before a fall. Fall is not of God. God is a promoter. Promotion comes not from the east, nor west, nor the south. It comes from God. He's a promoter. A fall comes from the devil. That's why pride comes before a fall. The devil has to arrive there and supervise your fall. Yeah, because the pride is the attraction. You just call, come, ask your pride. Okay, it's the devil to come. This is your kingdom. Come and supervise. Something is about to happen. A fall is about to happen. I'm about to become a subject to you. Oh, King Satan, Leviathan. Pride. That's why proud women divorce. Yeah. Proud men divorce. Yeah. Proud workers lose their jobs. Proud children get a curse. Proud church members lose their church. Proud church members stay even in church, but they lose any impact that the sermons will make on their lives. Yeah. Because you are no longer in the kingdom. You can be in church and operating in the kingdom of the devil, under the kingdom of the devil, when you are a child of pride. Because he's king. He's king of... Look, yes, the Lord is king of kings. He's king of the devil, but not king of you. So pride is one of the things you want to fight at all costs because it is the entry point to the kingdom of the devil. Mercy. Clap for the Lord Jesus. The last one is humble yourself in the sight of the Lord because your pride will make you an abomination to the Lord. Bible says everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 16:5 is disgusting. Is hated. That's a strong word. Give me another version, maybe Message or Amplified. New Living. Everyone that is proud and arrogant heart is disgusting, is hateful, and exceedingly offensive to the Lord. This is Amplified. You will never be offensive to the Lord in Jesus' name because you will be humble. Amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's go over to what we have for today. Today, we want to talk about how to be humble like a child. Ooh, a few minutes that are left. How to be humble like a child. And the Bible, we read it in Matthew 18, verse 1. Let's read it again, from verse 1 to 4. They amplify it again. He says that Matthew 18, at that time, the disciples came and asked Jesus, who is really the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he called a little child to himself and put him in the midst of them and said, truly I say to you, unless you repent, you change, you turn about. Some of us are about to change. Some of us are about to turn around in Jesus' name and become like little children, trusting, lowly, loving, forgiving. You can never enter the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4. Whoever will humble himself, therefore, and become like this little child, trusting, lowly, loving, forgiving, is greatest in the kingdom. Give me a message. Verse 3 and 4. Message. Verse 3 and 4. Matthew 18. Verse 3. 3 and 4. 3. Not 2. Matthew and 4. Okay. 4. Okay. Whoever becomes simple and elemental again, like this child, will rank high in God's kingdom. What's more, when you receive the childlike on my account, it's the same as receiving me. Yeah. Even the humility, God takes you up straight. You have to become simple and elemental. What are some of these simple and elemental formulae that will make us acquire this humility? See, because we talk about humility and we know about what pride is, but how do we get there? You see, how to? Now, many times, what's the formula? How can we acquire? It's vague. It's a vague spiritual virtue. Pride is such a nebulous and vague evil, it is easily disguised. I mean, how many know whether you are proud? How many are wondering, am I proud or am I humble? Me too, I'm wondering. But I think by now I know that there's pride in me, and I'm intending to get rid of it. I know one of the ways is to be humble and become like a child. Yeah. I will tell you, many of the people that you don't see in church is because of a conflict. And Bible says, only by pride, only one thing by pride cometh contentions. Only. Only by pride. So what is it that causes people to leave? It's pride. It's pride. Because contention came and they left. What led to the contention? Pride. Mercy. Now, how do we even diagnose who's proud and who's humble? Many times, when you see somebody who is tall and handsome and, you know, walks confidently, say, that person is proud. That's how we define pride. Put your phone away. Quick. Put it away. All right. So if you're going to use it for scriptures. Otherwise, put it away. It's a distraction. Okay. Promise me that you use it only for scriptures. Say, I promise on my honor. Your hand on your heart. All right. Good. Now, what was I saying? You see somebody, or people who are nicely dressed, say, oh, he's proud. Oh, he's driving a nice car. He's proud. He has a big house. He's proud. He has money. He's proud. He's well-educated. He's proud. That's how we assess. That's many times when they say choose proud. Somebody actually said to Bishop that he's proud because he's tall, he's light-skinned, he's gone to school, he's handsome, he's got a big church, he's proud. But when you come to him, he's one of the most lowly people. Yeah. You see? And in Numbers chapter 12, Moses was called proud by Miriam and, those guys who said, Dathan and Abiram. Numbers 12 is Miriam and who said he's married an Ethiopian woman. And then Dathan and Abiram too also said the same thing. And they even at a point said, has the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Has he not also spoken? It's like you are the one, you think you know too much scriptures. You think you can really preach. You think you are the only one anointed. It's like you are proud too much. You are too proud. And as he was speaking, God interpreted it as you are saying he's proud. And God says that there is none meek. No man on earth that's meek or humble like Moses. It means that their diagnosis that Moses was proud was wrong. Just because of what he had. He was a leader. He was in charge. He was confident. He was dishing out the instructions. He was preaching the right thing, and they were doing the wrong thing. They didn't like it. They didn't like his message. And they say he's too overbearing. Many people that you say are overbearing and are proud, it's not true. It's because you are too proud to receive what is the truth. It's the truth. And God proved it to them. He's a meek one. You are the proud guys. And you will get what comes with pride, a fall. And they did. You see? Numbers 16:3. He said, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And said, you take too much upon you, seeing all of the congregation are also holy. Every one of them. It's like we're equal. We're also holy. We're also anointed. And the Lord is among us. God is also with that. God's anointing is with that. Wherefore, do you lift up yourself above the congregation? It means you are too proud. You become too big. But the Lord told him, no, Moses is the meekest. Wrong. You are wrong. You're wrong. He said, I speak face to face because of his meekness. Mercy. So it's not true at all. Sometimes, actually, the people that you say the rich guy is poor. Sometimes the poor that is actually proud. Yeah. It's true. Sometimes it's actually the uneducated that is the proud guy. The person you think is educated, he's a lawyer. He said, because you are assuming that because he's a lawyer, he'll be proud. Sometimes when I get into the midst of the church members and we are joking and we are praying, some of them don't even know that I'm a doctor. One person came to the hospital and found out that I was a physician, and as she was about to do the colonoscopy, she screamed. Ah! What is it? What are you doing here? I said, this is my office. You're a doctor? She wanted to collapse. But another person will say, she's a doctor, she's proud. But I don't even know. I play with you, I chat with you. So, but sometimes, rather the opposite. Somebody said, never trust a poor person until he becomes rich. That's when you will see whether he's proud or humble. Many people who portray quiet, they are quiet, they don't talk much, they don't say much. It's not because they are humble. Hey, when they have something to see, say, you see. Yeah. Saul was so humble looking when he didn't have anything. When they chose him to become king, he said, why? 1 Samuel chapter 9, he told, and verse 21, he told Samuel. Saul said, my tribe is the smallest tribe in the whole of Israel, called Benjamin. And my family is the smallest family in all the tribe of Benjamin. And me. They don't even come in. I'm the little boy they sent to pick up donkeys. How can I become king? That was somebody who was saying, I am not. See, but he was poor. He was not a king. He was not a leader. When he became a leader, this guy changed. Even when they were looking for him to make him king, he went and hide under the bushes in the equipment. So how many will say that such a person is really humble? He doesn't even want to become king. Very humble. But immediately he became king. Yeah, something turned. Even when David conquered, he said, I cannot share my glory with you. They are saying, you have killed. I'm going to kill you. That's proud, right? Pride right there. Yeah. Samuel said, go and do these things because God says so. So I'll do what I like. Samuel says, I'm not going to go with you to go to the people. He said, no, come with me. Samuel said, I can't go. He pulled Samuel and tore his clothes. You must come. I'm the king. I'm speaking to you. What do you mean? He was so proud that when Samuel was told to go and anoint David, he said, if Saul hears that I've anointed David, he'll kill me. And truly, Saul killed many pastors. You think poverty is equivalent to humility? You think quiet? Sometimes the quietest people are the proudest people. When somebody talks a lot or talks confidently, he's proud. No. Sometimes the proudest people are the quietest are the proudest. Do you know, many of them, they don't think it's even worth talking to you. So I won't even talk to you. I won't even waste my words on you. Yeah. So don't dare think because you are quiet, don't be prideful on this message too because you're quiet. It's true. Yeah. But become like a child. What it means to be humble like a child. When you are humble like a child, you quickly forgive and forget. Clap for the Lord Jesus. If you are somebody who cannot forgive and forget, chances are that you are proud. You are not like a child. You see children who are there, and they are playing. That's why I told you that children, they have a lot of quarrels in the Save Church, the children's church. But I still have not heard from any, all my 20 years of pastoral work, no children's church pastor has come to tell me that one of my children has left the church. Clap for the Lord. Yeah, but there are more, sometimes they spend the whole sermon separating a fight. The whole Sunday is just to separate fights. They don't have opportunity, but we teach all the time. And there doesn't seem to be anything. But we are the ones who lose church members out of pride. We can't forget, we can't forgive. She sat by me and she spoke about me and she said this about, and she didn't greet me and he didn't do this and he spoke too strongly. He brought my issues up. Tell somebody, forgive and forget. Ladies and gentlemen, do you know that it takes humility to forgive? Because when somebody offends you, what it means is that the person does not deserve anything good from you. Yeah. It means that you have a right to retaliate. You are justified. Yeah. He stepped on my feet, for God's sake. Can you not see? You not see? See? And then he did it. And you say, I should stay here. On my black new suit. Now, if he is proud, he will say, I don't deserve that kind of treatment. And he doesn't deserve that kind of treatment. And I don't deserve forgiveness. What I deserve is a slap. And I'll get it. Or I'll leave the church. I'll get it. I want to prove that what he did was wrong. I want him to know. I can't let go. I want everybody to know that this guy is some way. Yeah. That is what leads to gossip. That's what leads to talking. Children don't do that. We don't even hear what went on. Sometimes they even ask them, what happened? They don't even know what happened. They've forgotten. And that's it. Yeah. They don't remember. Bible says, if you are to be humble, you should assess it by whether you can forgive. You want to know whether you're humble or you're proud? Ask yourself, can you forgive? And can you forget? All of us have things that we have harboring. Let it go. If you can't let it go, you're proud. And Leviathan is coming after you. Tell somebody, let it go, let it go, let it go. Let it go, let it go. The Bible says that those who are unforgiving, they enter the place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. They throw them to the tormentors. Yeah, the guy who said, I have given you everything. The boss had forgiven everything, and he went, and his colleagues who owed him just a little bit and could not forgive, he was sent to the tormentors. Unforgiveness is a sign of pride. You don't deserve it. So anytime I see somebody who can, you talk and talk before they forgive, they are proud. Including some of us. Mercy. But we're becoming humble in Jesus' name. I like the kids too. In fact, the children's church, there's no problem. Pastor Daniel and they can speak anyhow, anywhere to help them. It's not a problem. Time out, spank them. And sometimes we are so angry, we call the anger righteous anger. There's nothing righteous about that anger. Proverbs 13:10. Only by pride cometh contention. There's nothing righteous. Tell someone, there's nothing righteous about that anger. Number two. When you are humble like a child, you sit quietly and listen to instructions and teachings. When you lose this humility, you no longer sit quietly and listen to instruction, teachings, guidance, or counsel. Yeah. Have you heard that thing? You can't teach an old dog new tricks. Even the world has found a bad name for proud people. They call them old dogs. Yeah. We don't know what... Old dog, new tricks. It's a sign. That statement is the definition of pride. You can't teach old dogs new tricks. You are too old to be taught. Set in your ways. You can't be taught anything new. I've decided I'm not going to change. Not today, not tomorrow. Pastor, you can be the Queen of England. I've told you I'm not changing. I've heard those things. As for that, my husband, he is the devil's incarnate and nobody can live with him. Okay. I will never change. It's pride. I'll never be born. I'll never go to that church. I'll never go to that place. I'll never talk to that person. I will never relate with this. I'll never join this fellowship. It's just a sign. Yeah. Bible says in Ecclesiastes 4:13, it's better to be a poor and a wise child than to be an old and foolish king that can no longer be advised or taught. The Bible calls it an old pride, called old and foolish. It's not all old people that are wise. The Bible says in Job that not all, gray does not necessarily mean wisdom. Yeah. So it's better to be a poor and a wise child. Child again. Who can be done to be the opposite is old and foolish. Keen, old, keen, but foolish. Reason, he can no longer be taught. People cannot learn. Oh, people cannot change. Change. Take this. You tell them, no, don't take this. Even the Bible is a teaching. Take it. We won't take it. Won't take it. At the workplace, change and do this. We won't do it. At home, your mother says this. From today, lay your bed. You won't. The way you study, change because you are failing. You won't. Yeah. Have your quiet time. You are becoming backslidden. You won't. You've never come for prayer meeting before. Come. No, I've decided me. I don't come for prayer meetings. You've never come for midweek service. New things, learn new things, even new ways of doing old things. Ladies and gentlemen, there is too much loaded. I don't want to rush through until we come your way again next week. This is your usual host, Reverend Lindsay, saying, "Oh, you, why? You won't clap? I'm done. Clap. Rest your feet. I'm serious." Next week we'll continue, God willing. Yeah. Next week we'll continue. That's how we're going to do it these days. It's our church. I'm going to close between 12:30 and 12:40, that's all. So you better come early. If you want more, you come early so we can start early. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, there are 15 different ways by which you can escape Leviathan and embrace grace from God. As a child in humility, we will go through them one by one. Especially when you come to church early, we'll start early.
Amen.
If you don't come early, you cut your time down. That's how I'm going to do it these days. It just depends on you. Tell somebody it depends on you.
Depends.
Clap for the Lord Jesus. Because I've received instruction from the Lord. And I'm going to obey it. Put your hand on your heart. A new spirit of humility is coming to you. Leviathan is being taken from your life. In the name of Jesus Christ. You will never walk as a proud person. The humility of a child is being deposited in many hearts. The Lord is releasing you from bondage, from the curses of pride, from the satanic kingdom of pride. The Lord is delivering you. You are no longer going to be a child of that kingdom, a child of that kingdom of Leviathan. Father, I pray that the things that your children lost because of pride, restore it 100-fold. The years that Leviathan stole, restore 100-fold. From today, may we be able to let go, oh Lord, of evil and of grudges and bitterness and unforgiveness. Lord, may we become like children to forgive and forget. May we become like children to be able to be teachable. Help me, Lord. Tell the Lord, help me, Lord. Help me. In Jesus' name.
We believe the Word of God has come through to you and you have been blessed. Come join our services at 5796 Shelby Oaks Drive, Bartlett, Tennessee, this and every Sunday at 9 a.m. and again at 10:45 a.m. and 7 p.m. on Wednesdays. Be blessed.
Singing praise and I come to love.